This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, February 26th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Delta County School Board voted last night to consolidate North Fork Valley Public Schools. Hundreds of viewers tuned in to a live stream of the meeting, according to the Delta County Independent. The 3-2 vote passed, with Board President Jan Tuen and Ron German voting against. The newly combined North Fork High School will be located in Hotchkiss, with one K-8 school in Paonia and another in Hotchkiss. The K-6 North Fork School of Integrated Studies will remain in Paonia, with no changes to North Fork Montessori in Crawford. The changes will take place this coming fall. Delta County providers are preparing to vaccinate the next phase of 1B2. This includes individuals 65 and older, child care workers, Colorado judicial employees, and school district employees. Pre-registration for vaccine sign-up is at deltacounty.com, or for those without access to the web, by calling the Delta County COVID call center at 970-874-2172. Ouray County law enforcement officers were among the first to become eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine back in December, but most of them opted not to get vaccinated. According to the Colorado Sun, 4 out of 5 officers there became sick with the coronavirus. They quarantined and last week returned to work. The Colorado Rockies baseball team will be welcoming fans to Coors Field in Denver when the regular season starts April 1st, according to the Denver Post. The CDPHE approved a variance for fans in the stands, according to an unidentified spokesperson for the public health agency. Meanwhile, Rockies spring training games get underway this weekend in Arizona. All tickets for Rocky games in the desert over the next month have sold out. Abandoned oil and gas wells continue to pollute the air and the groundwater. The Guardian reports there could be as many as 3 million abandoned wells in the U.S., according to a 2018 EPA study. Penalties for not cleaning up a well are minimal. There's nothing but a small bond holding a company responsible for recuperation. That means profits for drilling go to individual companies, while the damages, both environmental and financial, are largely borne by the local community and by state and federal taxpayers. As the oil and gas industry craters, more than 50 major companies have gone bankrupt in the last year. And the Interior Department announced the appointment on Monday of Nada Culver as Deputy Director of Policy and Programs. Culver is an attorney who has worked for conservation groups, most recently as Vice President of Public Lands and Senior Policy Counsel at the National Audubon Society. Her appointment to the position formerly occupied by so-called sagebrush rebel William Perry Pendley marks a sharp departure from the previous administration's energy dominance public lands agenda. Culver's position is the number 2 spot under the Bureau of Land Management Director, a position the Biden administration has yet to fill. The BLM director is subject to a Senate confirmation process following nomination by the president. A statue honoring victims of Colorado's Sand Creek Massacre could soon replace the Civil War monument on the west end of the state capitol that was toppled during protests last summer. KVNF's Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Descendants of the massacre want it placed there because historians say it was where soldiers displayed the bodies of victims during a victory parade in 1864. Ryan Ortiz of the Northern Arapaho tribe says the new memorial will promote healing.
It's not very often in history do we have a chance to atone for our ancestors' mistakes. And this is an opportunity that's presented in front of us to do that.
But the monument plan has generated some controversy. Opponents say the one honoring Union soldiers in the Civil War should be restored. It's now displayed at a Denver museum. Lawmakers are likely to vote on replacing it with the Sand Creek Memorial next month. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
After decades of avoiding the worst, Gunnison County is now home to some of the state's most intense and severe bark beetle infestations. KBUT's Christopher Biddle has more.
An estimated 2,000 acres of forest within the Gunnison Basin has been affected by bark beetles. That's according to the results of an aerial survey conducted by multiple agencies and user groups. Scientists say the damage is likely to grow over the next 5 to 10 years. Amy Lochner is an entomologist with the USDA. She says spruce bark beetle infestations in Gunnison County are running rampant.
We can't really get ahead of it right now. It's a steamroller just coming through. Stranger things have happened, just like the mountain pine beetle with Taylor Park. You know, it totally missed us 10 years ago when we had the large outbreak. It's possible that the spruce beetle might pass over Gunnison for whatever weird reason. Stranger things have happened. But I'm kind of thinking you know, it is creeping in. So if you don't like what you see when you drive over Monarch, I would think that you should go out to Kebler and, you know, start taking some photos and taking it all in, because my guess is that in 5 to 10 years, we're probably going to start seeing a big change on our landscape.
Spruce bark beetles are responsible for the majority of the damage, about 1,400 acres between the Uncompahgre and Gunnison National Forests combined. Douglas fir beetles are also causing major damage, with more than 300 acres infected. A smaller outbreak of mountain pine beetles killed trees on about 40 acres of privately owned land in the Taylor Canyon. Scientists say drier, warmer weather conditions exacerbate the growth of bark beetle infestations, which are native to Colorado. For KBUT News, I'm Christopher Biddle.
Montrose artist and avid bicyclist Lewis Williams is preparing to ride 4,000 miles across the country in 6 months. KVNF's Kate Redmond learns more.
Montrose resident Lewis Williams is embarking on a long bike ride on Friday. He will ride from San Diego to Bar Harbor, Maine over the next 6 months. He is also a plein air painter and plans on painting and drawing every week as he travels. I caught up with Lewis as he was making his final preparations for his trip. Lewis, why did you decide to undertake this coast-to-coast bicycle ride?
On the eve, literally, of my 60th birthday, it was a time for reconsidering my life at that point. I wanted to rattle the cage.
How are you rolling in the plein air painting with your bicycling?
I wanted to bring people together at the different places on the route, just randomly. They can watch me paint. We can talk about being creative people in this world. Show them what it's like to paint outdoors, the enjoyment of that. And it's a wonderful thing any time in life, but certainly as you're getting older, it's a great reason to get up in the morning. Anything you can do to be creative.
How many miles a day are you looking at doing?
Probably averaging about between 40 and 45. Wanted to do two paintings or drawings, have a grand collection of artwork from across the country showing the landscape, history, the towns, and people.
It sounds like a heck of a culminating art show.
That'll be in November of this year, the Moab Art and Recreation Center.
And as well as the plein air painting connection, you also are networking with some charity groups?
The first one is a little newer. It's called Pioneers of Hope Foundation in Kenya. They do wonderful work with youth in their education and offering scholarships, young mothers and families and parents, employment and nutritional support. The other group is Santa Chiara Children's Center, which is down in Haiti.
That was Montrose resident Lewis Williams talking about the fundraising he will be doing as part of his coast-to-coast bicycle ride. To follow Lewis's progress as he paints and cycles his way across America, you can check out his website, lewisartwilliams.com. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond, and thank you for supporting local, independent public media.